Marketing interns, how's it going? Today's sponsor, Skyline Specs. Let me tell you a little bit more about them. Skyline Specs started in an introductory entrepreneurship course at the University of St. Thomas and has since developed into a growing business and brand. Skyline develops sunglasses, watches, and other products that connect people to their local cities. They do this by engraving city skylines such as Minneapolis onto their premium wooden sunglasses. So go ahead and please visit www.skylinespecs.com and use promo code BACKPOCKET. That's BACKPOCKET. BACKPOCKET. That's us. We're the Back Pocket. And when you use this promo code, I'm going to give you 15% off of any purchase. And with that being said, roll that intro music. Today is Tuesday, April 3rd, and the boys from the Back Pocket are back just a day later.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been an absolute battle, an absolute FOAG moment for the boys. FOAG means figure out, adjust, and go for all those who don't know. And it is just, like I said, an absolute battle, but we're glad to be here.
Yeah, let's give them a little background on why we're a day late. So yesterday, we tried recording at like 1 in the morning on like Sunday going into Monday, and because Declan was in Colorado, I was over at Faith's house, and
in Minnesota.
So we were in different states. First time ever we tried doing a podcast via FaceTime with us not together, and clearly it didn't work out as we planned because we pushed it back 24 hours.
Yeah, two roses and a thorn of recording over Wi-Fi. First off, your parents' Wi-Fi is usually not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Second, just knowing which USB port to plug in, and figuring out like QuickTime problems with recording.
I never had that issue, but going back to the Wi-Fi, like that's probably the worst Wi-Fi we'll have in our podcasting career.
Historically,
like, relying on that.
Yeah. Historically, that was a special moment for us because, your girlfriend's college Wi-Fi and my parents', 10-year-old Wi-Fi is not ideal, and it's probably the worst Wi-Fi we'll ever have to deal with going forward. And that's with the assumption that Wi-Fi is going to be getting better.
Always. It's got to be improving, right?
Yeah, in the next couple years, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a great historical moment for us in a lot of different ways. But I would say a rose. I mean, I think we listed off two thorns, but oops. A rose. Hey, got to stay positive here. A rose was just trying new things, and we're definitely going to have to do this in the future, so we have new tactics, new ways, new things that we learned that we can put in our back pocket for next time.
Absolutely. This is a trial in our podcast, as we reiterate constantly. And we definitely took initiative to go over what we did wrong. And we've listed all of those things that we failed at and wrote them down. So for next time, when we have this opportunity arise, these failures will not be failures. They will be success stories.
Oh, yeah. And you just always learn so much from your failures. I'm so happy that we failed. I wasn't happy yesterday because we failed, but I'm happy now that we failed because we're going to be better from it.
I think
so. We're
going
to be great.
Failure presents the opportunity for growth, and I'm ready to take it on full head of steam.
Absolutely.
So should we start how we always do?
Yeah, average quality.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a speed round of average qualities. Andrew and I are just, you know, more than average in a lot of senses and a lot of different situations. The first one, we kind of already touched on, but it's just, we're not together. So the below average audio quality that you're going to be seeing on the back end is just the most average thing, the most average conversation,
mm-hmm.
In the history of podcasting.
Yeah. And can I say that the first recording I'd say is below average audio recording, like of us with the interview with Aiden and us in the back end, that's just below average audio recording. However, I like to think that I did an above-average job at editing the audio.
People won't know how bad it was before you kind of just took it on full steam.
Correct.
And I'm just proud of you. Just really good stuff. Put on your resume. Just
so thank you.
Yeah.
So I think that equates to overall an average audio. With the below-average start, the sub probably above average editing.
Just really good engineering on your end.
Combined together gives us average audio quality. Absolutely. And we're excited to hear some feedback. Maybe it's above average. I don't know. Maybe it's wildly below.
Yeah, maybe you guys let us know. Maybe you just go to the back end and listen because it's pretty hilarious. I'm going to be laughing the whole time when I go back and listen to it. It's just phenomenal. Another thing, another average quality is just forgetting things. A lot of things were forgotten. So Andrew and I went on spring break. Andrew went to Mexico. I went to Colorado. We both forgot a lot of things, and we'll outline those right now. For me, I forgot my iPhone charger, and that is one of those things you don't want to forget because you use your phone a lot and you need to charge your phone. But you'd be surprised how many people are just willing to let you use a phone charger because everyone has one, and they're just like, yeah, you can plug in. Not a big deal, right? So, yeah, that's my average quality, just forgetting my iPhone charger. That was tough.
I think, you know, chargers in general, forgetting those is just a huge detriment to your production.
Sure.
Because, like, you just have to rely on other people at that point. So it's difficult. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, skating across, like, 20 to 40% battery for a whole week was, like, pretty wild.
Yeah, that's not ideal by any means. I personally forgot the memory card, the SD card for the GoPro. So the visual content that we had generated for last week's podcast could not be produced, therefore presented an opportunity for a new way to give our marketing interns social media platform.
Yeah, so we crushed that this week. I had a great opportunity when we didn't have any production or any content from the Matt Wagner interview.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for Maddie Lane taking pictures of us last week because I used all of them for our post in the past week. That was crazy. We were able to use this. I found this app called Canva, and it just makes your posts. Not an ad read. Thank you, Andrew. And they just, like, it made it so easy for me to make our posts look legit. It turns this average social marketing guy into just a social marketing guru. So not to brag.
Very savvy of you. Thank you, Maddie, for the photos. And thank you, Canva, for your ability to make photos even better.
Yeah.
Another average quality, because this is a speed round, so we got a bunch of average qualities this week, I'd say is, are we becoming a Tuesday podcast? Because last week we released our podcast on Tuesday, and this week we are also doing a Tuesday podcast.
And spoiler alert, next week we're also releasing a podcast on Tuesday because the back pocket was able to send Andrew down to the Masters.
We put it on the company card, and I'm going to do a little in-house research on the Masters in Augusta.
Yeah. What are you most excited for the Masters?
For the Masters, I think more on a personal level, I'm excited to see my pops, John and Sarah, in his element. The man is going to be on cloud nine, full John and Sarah mode. I'm so stoked because this is the first time we've been to the Masters, as my dad has prior, but I'll be with him and my brothers will be with him for the first time, and he's just going to be so giddy. I'm stoked.
That's going to be awesome, dude. I hope Tiger wins. That would just be the greatest thing ever. I know that people say Tiger's going to win every year, but I think this
Tiger's
is,
back.
Tiger's back. This is Tiger's year, obviously. So let's trap the puck a little bit. Tiger Woods winning would be a phenomenal story. Tiger Woods winning would just be unbelievable. But let's transition to our own stories, curbside stories. We were away for a week. Andrew in Mexico. I was in Colorado, like we said before. Andrew got a phenomenal curbside story for us today. So what do you got?
Yeah, so if I were to tell someone about my spring break, I would highlight this event in significance. So we did a little excursion from the resort in Mexico. We left and did an adventure tour, and it started on a speedboat. And on this speedboat, you know, we all dressed normally, ready to go do some outdoor adventure type things. One thing in particular that we made note of to have is an incredible outdoor style wear that you need to put on when you're going on these adventures would be MB Outdoors.
Yeah. I don't think you can go a day or have an adventure without this lifestyle brand. MB Outdoors just has great clothing. I absolutely love their cotton shirts. They just came out with a new line of quarter zips. Those are phenomenal. I actually love their hats as well. Just keep your face protected from that crazy sun. But in addition to that, I mean, they just got an unbelievable adventure lifestyle brand that also just looks phenomenal when you wear it.
I mean, it's aimed at sharing the excursions, taking on trails outside the hustle of suburbia. I mean, it's just sharing images captured by the adventures of all walks of life. And the why of the reason they're doing it, Declan, I mean, you got to share that.
Yeah, it's all about for the troops. So they, every time you go and buy one of their apparel or anything, any clothing, any hat, any sort of thing on their website, any of their gear, they donate some of that money to veteran groups, veteran charity groups. And that's just a great opportunity right there.
Yeah, so go ahead and on to mboutdoors.com and use promo code BACKPOCKET and we'll give you 15% off.
How does that sound, marketing interns?
I think it sounds pretty damn good.
Pretty great. But yeah.
So like back to my story. Yeah, the story of being outside in this adventure. So our first string producer, Stephen Harrell, dressed for success. He was full on mode about speed. Speed kills, and Steve was ready to take on this speed and a new level. He had these Oakley thick, dark glasses that he couldn't see. I mean, I couldn't see his eyes. I don't know if he could even see out of them, but they were so aerodynamic. He was ready to take. The speedboat was traveling faster because Steve was wearing these glasses. And he put on the red bandana on top of that. And I mean, there was really nothing you could do. You couldn't stop him at that point.
Yeah, that's a fire. That's a fire truck at a red light. Just not stopping.
Not stopping.
Unbelievable.
Needs to get to his destination.
Yeah.
So on that speedboat, going full speed was phenomenal. And then we took this Jeep, and again, the speed just continued going. Off-road Jeep. Steve led the way. Even the driver on the Jeep was like, Steve, like, come on. We can't be going that fast. You're too fast.
There's a speed limit here, Steve.
And then we get on these donkeys. Okay?
Slow animals.
And I'm like, there's no way that Steve's aerodynamic attire is going to uphill on these donkeys. Lo and behold, Steve's donkey wins. And
not surprising.
I mean, if
I'm a betting man, I'm betting on Steve's attire and Steve's speed to beat anyone out, because no one's as fast as Steve is.
And I mean, I thought his donkey was going to come in last, but I swear that speed was just incredible. And we finished on these zip lines and these water slides and just continued throughout the whole day. I mean, my curbside story would just be letting you know, if you're going to do an adventure, you got to be wearing MB Outdoors. And you got to be dressing for speed, because speed kills.
Yeah, speed crushes. If you're a football coach looking to make a difference, trying to make your team go to that next level, just remember, speed kills. So does Steve. Steve also kills.
Absolutely.
So I guess my curbside story didn't have anything spectacular going on. Me and Sierra went to Breckenridge, nice little ski town. We were hanging out. We skied 2 days, and then we were staying in a crepe line. So I've only had 2 crepes in my life. This was the best
crepe. A crepe, like pancake? Thin pancakes?
Yeah, the tiny thin pancakes. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal crepes, but we waited an hour and a half in line for these crepes. So that was wild. But we met this kid in line. He was scrolling through his Instagram behind me, 17-year-old kid. His name's Ian. He's actually our marketing intern of the week. So marketing of the intern of the week, going to Ian. Ian, you're phenomenal.
Thank you for your service, Ian.
He was scrolling through Instagram, and I was like, hey, you know, as the podcaster I am, you always got to be marketing, looking for opportunities to market the Back Pocket. I was like, hey, you should follow the Back Pocket on Instagram. You know, he goes to us. I give him my elevator pitch. He gave us a listen. Absolutely loved it. And then he just has an amazing story, and we probably will get him on at some point too. But it was just really cool to be able to, like, spend that hour and a half getting to know a kid like Ian, and just kind of utilizing a dead time or a dead space just to make the most of your opportunity. So that was really fun.
And I think it needs to be known, like, with this story and a few stories in the past that I've recognized, is you may go down as the most you capitalize line activity the most within the Back Pocket realm.
TSA line,
waiting for crepes.
Put me in a line and see how productive I can be.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Those are a couple curbside stories from our spring break. We had a blast, you know, spring break.
Gotta love it.
That brings me back to our first podcast. Oh, man.
Sheesh. Okay.
Let's just trap the puck. A lot of nostalgia right there, but let's trap the puck, and I think we should get to the interview.
Yeah. So our interview this week is with Aiden Brown, my brother, an aspiring actor. He is going to make it big in Hollywood one day, we assume. And, you know, before someone makes it big, got to have him on the podcast. That's just fiduciary duty as podcasters for us right there. Aiden's phenomenal, gives a lot of sweet advice on what movies to watch. Also gives us really good insight on what acting is like, what theater is like. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, so please go ahead and enjoy Aiden. And if there's audio quality hiccups along the way, we apologize in advance.
Soak them.
It's just the reality. Enjoy the ride, because we sure did.
Absolutely. Before we get to our interview, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, MB Outdoors. MB Outdoors, an adventure lifestyle and apparel brand aimed at sharing the excursions taken on all trails outside the hustle of suburbia. Did you get all that? Midwest Backcountry Outdoors has a growing lineup of apparel that shows the connection to its brand values of getting outside and taking the path less traveled. Their efforts to share stories and images of those who trekked that summit or reeled in that trophy come straight from those who live the adventure lifestyle. Check them out at mboutdoors.com. That's mboutdoors.com. And use promo code BACKPOCKET for 15% off. That's us, BACKPOCKET, BACKPOCKET.
Marketing interns, lock in. We got one hell of a guest this week. We got Aiden Brown, my younger brother. As podcasters, our fiduciary duty is to find the talent before they get big. Right now, we have the talent within my own family. We got Aiden Brown here today, looking to make it big in Hollywood one day. Also looking to go to college at some point here in the next couple months. But before we get into any of that, we must welcome on Aiden Brown. How we doing?
How's it going? Excellent. Glad to be on the podcast finally.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead and give him a purple.
There we go. I like that.
So, Andrew and I are niching down here. We're trying to ask the questions that we're best at asking, you know, bringing out the best talent. With that being said, our first question here is, what does the back pocket mean to you?
For me, if one word that stands out is camaraderie, you know. Whenever I tune into the podcast, times I do, I just get a sense of camaraderie, like I'm there talking to both you and Andrew.
I really appreciate that. You know, some people take it in two different directions. They hear us ask this question, and like, what does the back pocket mean to you? Some of them actually address the physical back pocket of a jean. But you talking about us, that means we're starting to create a brand. You know, our brand awareness is growing. People get that we are the back pocket, and they feel that they're a part of it now.
And now everyone's in this back pocket. I mean, the best part is the back pocket has infinite capacity. So it's not just meant for your wallet. It's not just meant for things that you don't want to forget. It's just meant for a couple dudes talking story. That's pretty much how it's always going to be.
That's awesome.
Just always got to learn some new things day in and day out.
And you know, your back pocket is wildly average, like the actual location of it. It's kind of like you don't put many things back there because you're sitting down. Sometimes you're afraid people are going to steal things out of it when you're just walking down the street. However, the back pocket is just wildly average. And we love to ask the question, what is your average quality?
I'd say my sense of men's fashion. I'm wildly average when it comes. It's good though. It's pretty competent, but like it's like long sleeve, you know, shorts or pants, and like that's usually what I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I get a jacket and I zip the jacket all the way up. There's no
because it's cold.
There's no. But some people like hang out with the jacket open. And that's their style. But that's never. I just average quality.
Okay, right on.
I'd say our men's fashion. I can easily. It's probably below average for me. I'm more of just jeans and a cotton long sleeve. Wear jeans as much as possible.
I always like look at my closet, like trying to decide, like, oh, what's gonna look good with what with the podcast this week. Like, I mean, I got the podcast shirt on. Like, that was about as far as I could get on that. But I hands up on this one. My mom has pretty much bought my clothes ever since I came into existence, and still holds till today. I don't think I've ever bought myself a pair of clothes. So hands raised on that, Aiden. I'm sure you can say the same thing. We share the same mother. So.
Well, it's true, but then like I'd say that's where I stand above the below average, obviously. Okay. Heading into the average qualities that I don't try, but I try just enough to make it an average quality.
Okay. Well, can I say that your attire right now, the green glasses with what's on your shirt again?
Got Santa Monica shirt that I got from Santa Monica.
Okay. It's probably like a very thin hoodie. With green sunglasses. That's pretty average attire right there, man. I mean, you're living up to what you're talking.
I got these sunglasses working at a concert, so It was just a lady giving them out.
Hey, well, you know, we could also help you out with your sunglasses game. I know you love sunglasses. Andrew and I love sunglasses as well. More specifically, we just love the style. And Skyline Specs brings an absolute unbelievable style. Have you ever heard of Skyline Specs?
Are they your brand?
Yeah.
They're a really nice brand. They're a brand that you should probably look into, and I know our marketing interns would definitely want to look into them. You're going to go ahead and find them at skylinespecs.com. And when you find a pair that you like, they also have accessories to go along with these sunglasses. And when you find this, go ahead and use the promo code BACKPOCKET. That's BACKPOCKET, and I'll give you 15% off. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal.
What do you think about that?
I honestly, that's something I'm going to look into because I need to up my glasses game.
Absolutely. Maybe take that glasses fashion from average to above average, but we don't know. But one thing we do know about you, Aiden, is you're looking into a career in acting. You're looking to go to college for acting school. You got a real big future ahead of you, and you know, as podcasters, we're very excited for you. As a family, we're excited for you. But what we want to get to, first of all, is where did you find the passion and your drive to be a great actor?
Well, it all started when I was a kid. And yeah, our other sisters, Darby, or I think it was just Rory. Rory was in a production of, like, The Night Before Christmas. And I was just like, it was horrible. But, like, I just looked at it and I'm sitting there like, man, I want that much attention. And, like, so the next year I did start the musical. I was in Andy. And basically, from there on, it's just not, I wouldn't say it's not attention seeking, but I'd say it's on the lines of, like, I feel most confident. Well, number one, because I'm somebody else, so I'm not playing myself on stage. But, like, I guess it comes with just, like, showing people what I got, like, my craft. And from there, it kind of rolls into, like, the camaraderie's good, I like the people. And I like working with ensembles and putting something together to, like, show somebody, basically.
Yeah, I like that.
That's fantastic.
Would you say your industry, the theater industry, is a perfectionist industry? Would you say you're more on that edge, or would you say you're more of a go-with-the-flow improv type?
It depends what director you're working with. Some, like, especially when I worked on, Fiddler on the Roof, he told the cast specifically, he's like, this is a classic musical, you have to stick to the script. And then at points I went off script and just did some like improv. Like, that one point I was just like I yelled like what really loud, it was what, and like and then like he told went up to me, he's just like he loved it, basically. So okay. Like sometimes you can push him a little bit, but you can't push him too far where it's not if it's not like working, then it's usually the director that cuts it. Gotcha.
How important are these, quote unquote, coaches of the play, the directors? Would you say you lean more heavily on the director, or you lean more heavily on the actor and the actresses themselves?
That's the thing when it comes to, especially in movies, that you are supposed to lean. You're basically a tool that works for the director, but the director also leans heavily on your own skill. That's usually what they're looking for in the casting room. If you're ever going out there, they're looking for they you can take direction, but at the same time you have your own. You're bringing your own when you come in there.
Okay, and you feel like since you're entering in this world, where would you fall in line? Do you need that direction? Or are you saying like you're going to hire me and I'm going to be able to follow you? But like you just mentioned, I got the power to improv when needed.
I'd say that I come as a little package. You know, I got what I got, and I'd say here's another average quality for you. That's two for one in one podcast. That I take direction really well, and that's where I coachable. Yeah, I'm pretty coachable.
Mm-hmm.
So, directors out there that are listening to the podcast, Aiden Brown's coachable. It's breaking news on that. That's a big deal. So what would you say Andrew and I are, first of all, big Two Roses and a Thorn guys. We just love talking about Two Roses and a Thorn. I have to fit it in everywhere.
Yeah.
With that being said, what would you say are the Two Roses and a Thorn of producing a play?
Definitely Rose is the finished product. Thing I focus on is if I just focus on myself in the show, not get stressed about the other things, bad things that factor in. I focus on myself and I put on a show. That's usually the rose. It's the show at the end. Another rose I'd say would be, you got like the people that you're working with. Like even if you, some of them can be like not horrible people, but they can be like stressful, like very
dramatic.
Yeah, but it's still fun. It's like so much fun to work with them because they, even if like it's in the wrong direction, they have so much personality. There's just so much personality that comes with working in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's like they're not someone you like, you can still have good camaraderie with them. It's like that's just because you're both in hell together. You basically just
sure. And then that's
yeah.
The thorn.
The thorn is it's a long process, and especially towards the end, that's where just layers on layers of stress come. You start going till 9 o'clock. And you get home, and you have to go to school the next day, and you go back till 9 o'clock, and it's just get, like, even later, like, later in the industry, when you're working up, like, at the higher-ups, too, it's still, like, so much work you gotta, like, there's so much that factors into it just to get the movie to the person.
Okay. So let me go ahead and ask this question. Your thorn ended up being a process-oriented thorn, and your rose ended up being results-oriented. You love the final product when you're actually on the stage and you hear the round of applause from your audience. Personally, would you say you're a more results- or process-oriented person overall?
Well, I'd say I think I can stick with the process. Like, I'm not, like, dreading it. Because the process is what, like, you can't do the process without the result. But I'd say I'm more result-oriented because even when I work out, I'm just doing it because, like, I like the result of it. I don't like working out.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
But you're saying, like, you like the process of acting, which also, and hand-in-hand goes with the result as well.
Yeah, but I'd say when it comes to pure enjoyment, I get, like, great feedback from the result. Like, the audience gets to see it. I get to ask their opinions of it. So I'd say I'm result-oriented because I like the end of the process.
I have a question. So, like Andrew mentioned before, we're not theater guys. Like, we're not actors. We're podcasters. But what we are, or what we are just wondering, is how do you memorize lines? How does that work?
Well, everyone has a different process. Like, there's a... Like, I've heard people still use, like, an app. There's a specific app for it.
For everything?
Well, there's an app for everything. There's an app for podcast.
Ooh, yeah, and go ahead and subscribe to the Back Pocket. It's a 5-star review. Anyways.
Well, I'd say, for me, when I go to rehearsal every day, go line through line, it just starts to become second nature at that point. Last-minute memorization for line tips would be I write it down. I write all my lines down on a sheet of paper, and then I just do that most of the time. Like, that's how writing it down helps you remember. That's also for if I do both, just like practicing a rehearsal and writing my lines down, I'm just golden on my lines early. But for last minute memorizations, if I need to memorize it like a monologue a week before, or 2 days before even, like, I just write it down, and that's where I get the memorization problem.
For a play, how long does it take? Like a play like Arsenic and Old Lace, you're just the star in.
Yeah.
How long does it take to memorize a play that's, say, 3 acts?
For Arsenic and Old Lace, it's harder because that's the most lines.
Okay.
Yeah. And it took me, I'd say, like a... Because sometimes I wouldn't look at it because I'd be focused on other things. I'd say it takes a good, like, a week to a month to memorize my lines for that. Yeah,
okay.
I'd say a week at most, because if you just, like, put, like, pen to paper and, like, just go into the frying pan, you know, that it takes about a week.
Okay.
You're the lead of that role and of that play. What are the leadership tactics that you use to keep everyone in line? Because we, Declan and I, athletes, we have leadership tactics within our own teams, but it's different on the football field versus in a play. What's your go-to? Because you got a lot of different personalities out there.
Yeah, well, controlling about like 50 kids, freshman to senior, all different types of personality. Basically, you don't really take on leadership roles as a lead. Somewhat times you do, but like it's more like I was a senior and like other kids who were seniors would have to be leaders. And I'd say leadership I wasn't the best, like, in terms of leadership tactics. I was loud. Like, people would listen to me. But, like, whenever it came to, like messing around on set or, like, stopping rehearsal instead of that, I'd say that, you know, if you start acting serious, then everyone else around you starts following you.
Okay.
You set the tone.
Tone
yeah.
setter. Glue guy. Love it. So, all right. Trapping the puck on acting, Andrew and I, we pride ourselves on doing research on you, Aiden, given that you're my brother, but we also just do our research in general. Great research, guys. We know you're big into movies, and that is one of your passions, and it's not even close. So with that being said, and tying that in with your acting career, who do you see yourself most representing, or who do you want to be most like that's a current actor right now?
I'd say the one, when it comes to, like, top, like, actors, you know, there's a difference between, like, top actor, like, the best in the game, and, like, celebrity. Sometimes you got a celebrity who's just a dirt poor actor, and it's like,
The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Well, he's got personality.
Okay.
Like, that's, sometimes you don't even need to act, you just need to have personality.
Okay.
Like, when it comes to certain... I'd say, like, certain celebrities who just, like, are famous and great at acting, you know? Denzel Washington, there's no doubt in my... Like, people, especially even our president Donald Trump, like, overrates Meryl Streep, but Meryl Streep is a killer actress. Meryl Streep is the best in the game. There's no... And I'd say my favorite when it comes to, like, someone like...
I have a quick interruption here. Meryl Streep, I'm down on her. I will just for this reason, you know, I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know how much work she puts in. However, the fact that when she just does a movie, she's immediately nominated for if she's a supporter or a lead right away. I don't appreciate that. She can't be nominated for every role she's ever done. That's not how it works.
That's the Academy's fault. There's plethora of problems with the Academy.
Okay.
I agree with that. So I'm all for that. I definitely think that. But like she just got nominated for The Post. The Post was like it was an okay movie. It's
average movie.
I mean it's good in terms of like direction, but like you can't. There's nothing like new, exciting to it, and they throw up there for a nomination because it's Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. Is he one of those actors that is a celebrity status but not a very good actor?
No, he's great. Another one. You can't go wrong with Tom Hanks.
Really? I feel like Tom Hanks doesn't understand the importance of a supporting actor. Any movie he's ever done, he's had to be the lead and he's the face on the billboard.
Well, I mean, because he ranks in the money. You know, you got... If it comes to a character actor, like, who loves the supporting roles, like, if you watch, like, Inglourious Basterds recently...
Yeah.
He's supporting... He's won 2 Academy Awards for supporting actors. There are people who just find themselves in that role, I'd say.
But even, like, you know, Matthew McConaughey was a supporting role in Wolf of Wall Street. Leo was in The Departed. Like, those actors still take supporting roles from time to time. Tom Hanks has never been a supporting actor. Marketing interns, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he has.
Because I mean, he has too much charisma for a leading man.
Okay.
And I don't think it's his fault that he doesn't want. I don't think he doesn't want to do supporting. I think like at this point in his career, maybe if he was younger, but at this point in his career, he's got like he's old. And he wants money. Who doesn't? And like. They throw a script on his desk for like Steven Spielberg, The Post, main role. He takes it. That's like
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, you can't. No, I bet people don't even offer him supporting roles at this point.
That's true. He probably doesn't even get offered that position. I'll give you that.
I mean, he probably like maybe like, give it some time. I'd say when he's even older, especially elderly, like especially the oldest actors. Sometimes they take like. Small supporting roles.
Like, what's his name that just did, that stepped in for Kevin Spacey. He got nominated.
Christopher
Plummer, Christopher Plummer. Like, that man's so old. He's only doing supporting acting jobs now.
Yeah, I mean, the quick exit of Kevin Spacey was something that's an average quality right there. the director heard about it first, second, fired, got a new guy, we shot it. That was the movie.
It was still a decent movie. Mark Wahlberg was average in it, but Christopher Plummer, he stepped up.
Mark Wahlberg's a person who's he's a celebrity, but like his acting's pretty average. Like he's not raking in I don't see him top. I don't see him up there with Marlon Brando or Robert De Niro. Mark Wahlberg's not one of those guys.
No, he's just one of those guys you're going to see on the street and you're going to be like, say hi to your mother for me.
So going back to the question, I might be force feeding you this, but are you going to compare yourself to Tom Hanks or Leo?
No, I'd say those are too high. I'd say someone that I strive to be, he's got not only the charisma, he's a celebrity, he's good looking, but he's also a great actor. I'd say that, and who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be? It's Ryan Gosling. Who does not want to be? Anyone wants to be Ryan Gosling. They want to put themselves in his shoes. He not only is he staunchly good looking, but he's also a killer actor. Every movie he's in, even if it's just the worst movie, you see him still delivering. So I'd say Ryan Gosling.
Can you play cornerback like Ryan Gosling did in Remember the Titans?
It's not. He didn't play football.
Exactly. Hey.
I research just like the back pocket. So I think I can manage. I think when it comes to depth roles and stuff, I think if I do my research, I can pull it off.
Okay. And you'd be fine. You'd be humble enough to let Petey take your position because he's earned it in the offseason.
If it says it in the script, then yeah.
Okay. Hey, fantastic. I love, love your attitude.
That's a great point, Andrew. That's just really good podcasting. All right. Should we transition to the game?
Before we get to the game, actually, this can fade into the game. Let's get to you lead us in.
To the game? We're already going to the game?
Yeah, let's do it.
What was your question?
I'm going to work it into the game.
Okay. Game.
Game alert.
So the game is, we were just talking about, movie debates. Aiden, you're a huge movie guy. Our marketing interns need to know what movies to watch, what movies to stay away from. We need to know what Aiden's picks are for the Oscars, even though I think they already happened. We'll get some sort of power ranking from you. But that's what our game is today. First thing for me, set the scene. Movie suggestions. Give us two or three really good movies that we need to see if we haven't seen already.
Movies to see definitely Before You Die, I think. But you gotta go, my first pick would be a classic, all around great movie. Just something that you sit there and it could be a range of movies. I'd say something like Alfred Hitchcock, North by Northwest. That's just starring Cary Grant. I heard you guys talk about him on the podcast. I'd say North by Northwest, Vertigo, any Alfred Hitchcock movie you gotta start, because those are just they came out in the 50s, and you think oh, this is gonna be Gone with the Wind, 4 hour, everyone's overacting, but it's such great, that's film school 101, just great shots, great, Alfred Hitchcock knew, he made the movies for the audience, he didn't make some art house movie. You can barely understand. Maybe. So you can watch it, you can enjoy the hell out of it.
Awesome. Gotcha. Any other? Keep going. I love where your head's at. Another movie suggestion.
This is hard because movies are definitely subjective. All art is subjective. Because sometimes you got a really great movie that other people are just
All right, I'll set the scene for you. You're sitting in the room. This is something that I go through habitually because I love suggesting movies, and it's always a different environment you're in. Okay, so you're sitting in a room with your brothers and your sisters, and your parents. And this is a movie that they haven't seen yet, and you think it's worth their time. What movie are you bringing out to the table?
I threw down North by Northwest, any Alfred Hitchcock movie to start. Then you want to get into, like, movies that will just, like, shock, like, I'd say, like, shock people. Like, people are, like, thinking, oh, this is a boring rom-com. Like, you just got to hit them with something.
Gone Girl.
That'll rock. Like, no, like, exactly. Like, Gone Girl. Like, but no, I'm going way back. Like, you throw two movies that I think that you need to just, like, shock, rock someone's world with. Three movies, I'd even say. It'd be, like, Pulp Fiction is the must-watch.
Absolutely.
Fight Club. You want to get, like, you like David Fincher, you watch Fight Club. Fight Club's just a killer movie. And then you got, like, every movie is, Martin Scorsese, you gotta watch Goodfellas. If you haven't watched Goodfellas yet and you love movies, then something's wrong. It's just, like, an all-around just supreme film. Acting, directing, writing is sharp as a knife.
I mean,
so
you're...
there's eras of movies that, like, you want to get, like, classic, you go Alfred Hitchcock, and that's where you start. Contemporary, like, shocking movies, you know? Something a little bit, like, violent, you gotta go
edgy.
Fight Club. Yeah, edgy. Fight Club, Pulp Fiction, Goodfellas.
Can I put two more movies in there? These are movies I love bringing to the table if people haven't seen. One, Usual Suspects.
That, also a great movie.
Great movie.
Do you like mystery? Usual Suspects. Great.
Yep, and then another mystery one that I love bringing to the table. People have seen this one a little more recent is Shutter Island. Another Leo movie that, you know, people don't truly appreciate. I just love what's going on with your head in that movie.
Shutter Island's phenomenal.
I really like Shutter Island too. But if you want to go Martin Scorsese, because that's the same director as Goodfellas.
Okay.
Correct.
You got to start with Goodfellas. Then you get to Shutter Island.
I will also throw in there shocking, like a Django Unchained, like any Quentin Tarantino movie, pretty much.
Start with Pulp Fiction again, then you move your way down.
Okay, so on the flip side, we're giving all these people movies, or giving all the marketing interns the movies they love and that they need to see. How about the movies that everyone already kind of knows, but they're actually just not good movies at all?
I wouldn't say, because there are movies that, like, are good, but just are championed as, like
the best thing ever.
The best thing ever.
Yeah. So, like you said before, movies are subjective, art is subjective. So, but going off of your opinion, where are you at on movies that people love but aren't made off of what they actually were?
I'm about to throw something, like, this might be I'd say Titanic would be something that, it's got amazing score. It's got amazing set design, and like they worked incredibly hard on it. But I just think it's not up there with the greats. I would say Titanic would be something like, because it's just like a romance movie, and then like then you get the set of Titanic at the end.
Yeah,
like that's like the movie. And then like I think James Cameron as a director is amazing. Like he's amazing craftsman. He like loved like Avatar's another one that's like. Really, like, it's got great score again. It's got great effects, like, pushing the boundaries of effects, but it's just, like, story, characters, like, there's nothing there. Like, someone wrote in a day.
Gotcha.
Like, it's not something that should be put up there with, like, the greats.
Any others?
Well, I mean, I think that, you're gonna get into hype. I think, like, something that ruins the movie industry is just, like, nostalgia. I think that people aren't willing to find new movies, and, like, that's why we just get recycled, like, we get, like, Marvel movies every year, which are great movies. Like, which are good movies, not great. But they're, like, movies in general. But, like, I think, like, something, like, we shouldn't be, like, as much as I enjoy watching the new Star Wars movies, I think that, should have been something that ended, like, long ago.
And just ended it?
Yeah. And you like, hey, kids, watch these three great Star Wars movies. Like, these movies I saw as a kid. And they watch it. And there isn't, like three more. There isn't, like, seven TV shows. Like, 900 books. Like, two new movies that are just, like, marketed to, like, the lowest common denominator
yeah.
people. And I'd say, like, just in general, like, Star Wars hype culture has gotten way, like, overblown. Whereas, like, The Last Jedi...
a decent film has been, like, ripped to shreds. Just for, like, doing a few things different. And, like, yeah. Fans will just destroy the movie. Like, people I know will just destroy that movie. Say it's the worst movie they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, like, Star Wars wasn't, like this got, like, brought down from God. It's just made, like, it's just a movie somebody made.
Yeah.
And people enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And it's like, people think it's, like, something like the second coming of Jesus. Whenever a new, like, Star Wars movie comes out.
That's so true.
I'd say that's my, I'd say that's where, like, so if you go, oh, like, movies that people love, like, some that's shale, but, like, aren't that great. I just say hype culture in general for, like, old movies.
Yeah. Okay.
Would be my take for that. That's fair.
This is something I'd like to just throw in there. We've already mentioned a few people, like, Quentin Tarantino and Martin Scorsese, directors. This is a great theme of when you find a director that you enjoy, you continue to follow his path in the movies he puts out.
I have done this for me, like Quentin Tarantino, Martin Scorsese. I've watched them and I watched all their movies. But directors that I just think that when you see their movie, you just have to watch the rest of the movies. Number one coming out of the gate is Wes Anderson.
Yes! Yes! Bro, Wes Anderson is my favorite. I'm so happy you said that. Wes Anderson is my favorite director of all time.
I wouldn't say he's up there. Like, you can never go wrong with Wes Anderson. There's a like anti-culture of Wes Anderson where it's like, oh, his movies, like, some of them suck. Like, all of them are, like, fantastic movies. You watch one, and, like, people have problems, like, oh, it's too artsy, it's too, like, dry. Like, you've got...
Love the dry humor.
You're just not... I'm not saying you don't understand, because obviously people are subjective, and they don't... Like, some people don't like Wes Anderson. I respect that. But there is no other director that has such control and such, like, such a distinct... Like, Wes Anderson is his own genre at this point.
Yeah.
Of movies.
He has created his own theme. Every single one of those movies follows the same kind of idea of just the cinematography of it. And one movie that I think everyone needs to see if they have not seen it, that I watch on repeat probably once a month, is Fantastic Mr. Fox. So funny, dude. Is like, that's my thing. Like, that's my thing now.
That's his trademark.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then, I just saw, like, Isle of Dogs. That was also a fantastic movie. But I think my favorite would be, like, Life Aquatic, Royal Tenenbaums. Those are both movies that are just, like, they're so, like, detached from what you, like, so detached from, like, reality, but they're so personal to people.
Yes. I think Moonrise Kingdom, again, does that really well, too. Like, Edward Norton as the captain of the Boy Scouts.
It's such a weird movie, but it captures childhood. Another director is another Anderson. It's Paul Thomas Anderson. I've seen every one of his movies, and they all, though they're distinctly the same, they all offer something that, like deep to me. For, like, he has movies like Boogie Nights, which Mark Wahlberg was in, like, one of the only good movies that he's in. Like, one of the only good times he's ever been, like, an amazing actor that I've actually, like, believed Mark Wahlberg in the role.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Wahlberg, let me go back to him real quick. In that newest movie, it was like the Boston bombing one. The one where Mark Wahlberg was in, like, the Boston bombing.
Oh, okay.
I don't, like...
They already made a movie about that?
Yeah, they made a movie about it. It's because Mark Wahlberg... And Mark Wahlberg plays a character that doesn't exist. It's just Mark Wahlberg in the Boston bombing as a policeman. It's like, oh, really? It's not, like, some people, like, love this movie. It's like, I get friends like, oh, it was such an intense movie. It's like, no, I just think he doesn't sell it to me. But Boogie Nights he does, that's, and, like, Paul Thomas Anderson has that unique ability to take, like, a bad actor and just, like, they give, like, an amazing performance. Like, or not even a bad actor. Someone who you like, Adam Sandler, who's been in, like every movie that, and, like, you're just like, oh, he's the funny guy. And, like, he's, like, it doesn't work out. And you're just like, it's not, like, I don't believe him as a real person in these movies. Like, this movie, Punch Drunk Love, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Adam Sandler, was, like, the most, like, touching film with Adam Sandler I've ever seen.
The Master is another great movie. There are, like, weird moments in these movies where you're, like, 3 hours long.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like, and then I'd say, like, so Paul, you got Wes Anderson, you got Paul Thomas Anderson, and,
give us one more to finish it off. Close the game out.
He just came out with Blade Runner 2049. It's, his name is Denis Villeneuve, and, like, I guarantee you've probably seen his film before, and you're like, that's an amazing movie,
yeah.
But you just, like, because you don't know the director and you haven't seen the rest of his work.
Gotcha.
Like, he came out with Prisoners. That was he directed Prisoners, and he like, such great. It was amazing cinematography and amazing acting. Prisoners, Enemy, Sicario was another one. Arrival, which came out 2016, the one with, like, the aliens. And then he just came out with Blade Runner 2049. And all of them, every single one of those films. And these all came out year after year. Like,
yeah.
He's working on, like, some people take, like, a 5-year span and come out with a movie that sucks. It's like, this guy comes out, he's came out with a movie 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. All have, and the worst one of them is still far above, like, any movie. Wow.
This first question I'd like to, or last question I'd like to ask is, who do you compare yourself to most outside of, like, not who you strive to be, but who do you compare yourself to right now?
It's hard to compare yourself to someone who's, like, reached the top when you're so young.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, like, base level, like, who do you compare yourself to right now?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to compare yourself to someone who's reached the top when you're so young and don't know the game yet,
sure.
As to someone who does know the game. But, I gotta think about that. That's like...
Hey, I love that answer, though, dude. You're striving. You can't compare yourself to anyone right now because you want to become people. Fair answer.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta separate yourself, but yet fit into the mold.
Exactly. All right, Declan, finish it up. Let's just do our last question, our favorite question.
Sure, absolutely. So we asked this to all our guests. It is from the time you woke up today till the time we are right now recording this interview. What did you learn?
I'd say, like, she was talking about... What was it? It was like...
I couldn't... Mary Magdalene?
Oh, yeah! Let's talk about Mary Magdalene. That's what I learned today. Someone told me that she wasn't a prostitute, but I think different. We talked about Mary Magdalene's kind of role in the story of Jesus, and there are many different opinions. Some people think that, like, Mary Magdalene should have been Jesus' wife, so I'd say just Mary Magdalene in general. The status of Mary Magdalene in general, in the Bible, is what I kind of grasped.
Sure.
If you could even grasp it.
Yeah. So you learned what you didn't, what you don't know.
Yeah, I learned what I don't know, and it's that I need to do more research on Mary Magdalene.
Aiden, it's been a pleasure. I know there's been some tribulations that we've had to overcome. It's just like the acting process. It's just like the podcasting process. You know, we continue to work. That's what we do.
Right. Strikes and gutters, and we just love the process. We'll get it done.
Right. So that concludes it. Thank you so much, Aiden.
Thanks for having me.
So that was... interview with Aiden Brown. Aiden Brown, hell of a guy. Someone that, you know, I just want to be around all the time. Brings a ton of energy. Thank you, Aiden.
Yeah, absolutely great guy. Can't wait to see where he ends up, what he ends up doing, how he ends up doing, what his story ends up looking like. Can't wait to get him back on and hear how things are going in college, wherever he ends up going. But here we are on the back end. We don't have a front end podcast.
He's going to end up somewhere big. He's going to make it big. He's just got one of those personalities. Super stoked that we were able to catch him on before he made it that big.
Absolutely. I believe it. So here we are on the back end, Andrew. Let's get after it.
First things first, we need to mention we're recording the back end currently without a front end. The podcast is going to be delayed 24 hours as we're going to alert the marketing interns. But we wanted to record the back end while we still had some some aspiring motivation to do what podcasters do. Declan, we want to tell us why the marketing interns aren't going to catch the front end and the whole podcast until 24 hours from now.
Yeah, you know, we're just we're a strikes and gutters podcast. We're hit and miss. We're give and take. So turns out technology doesn't work like you want it to at all times. And Andrew and I learned our lesson. The QuickTime player on Apple MacBooks is a fraud. The screen record, more specifically.
The back end is, what did we learn? What was our lesson we learned?
Oh, lesson we learned is to always have a backup recording. So, I'm recording on my phone right now, just in case our QuickTime player doesn't record our screen record thing.
This is the first time we have to do this after 43 podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a podcast of news. This is incredible. First time we're recording in this not same place. First time our audio doesn't work. First time we have an interview where we're not sitting there. One of us is with them, one of us is not.
It's wild. Just and we're recording at 1 a.m. On Monday, April 2nd, because there's no other times to record. And what better news to get when it's 1 a.m. and you just recorded a killer 20-minute front end and you hit pause, you know, give yourself a little break, right? A little breather in between the front and back end. And
it tells you you're – anything that you just talked about, because USB ports are different from port to port.
Yeah, turns out, you know, as podcasters, do a little thread reading online, and turns out one USB port works better than the other. So what are we going to do? We're just going to keep grinding. Can't do much other than that. We'll still get an episode out to you guys. You guys got the episode, actually. Great episode so far. Things are looking up. Killer stories. Loved it all. But hey, let's finish it like we always do. Let's stay consistent. Consistency is our virtue, as Matt Wagner says. And with that, you know, the back end, Andrew and I hold true to ourselves here. And we just love all the marketing interns that make it to the back end. We're here, and we always end with a what did we learn and a feel-good story. Andrew, you want to give us your what did you learn?
Sure, I can start. What did I learn? I learned a few things today, but one thing in particular that I would like to, you know, elaborate on. People sometimes are unprepared for what's to come. This is the amount of failures I've had today have come through this overall theme. And I've learned this, I need to become better because it's just simple. There's a lot of times where you're just not going to be prepared. One thing early on in the day that I alluded to in the front end that was not recorded, Patrick didn't bring his wallet. And I had to put the bill on the company car. No thing about being unprepared. I didn't realize how stressful recording a podcast in two different states is. Just wasn't prepared. One thing I wasn't prepared on was not bringing, as I alluded to on the unrecorded front end, that I forgot to bring my GoPro SD charge, SD thing. And when that happens, you just got to adapt. You know, it's just being unprepared stinks and it's stressful, but, you know, it's part of life.
Yeah, hey, you learn the most when your feet are backed up, you're on the edge of the cliff, you forget something, you're under a lot of pressure. Things just hit your book when you don't expect it. And, the greats, the people like you, Andrew, they figure it out. They get it done. You know, they make it through, they battle through that obstacle. Now what did I learn? Not as big of an obstacle or maybe a failure as what you had. But I learned how to do my taxes.
Hey, so big step up.
Yeah, huge step up. I'm growing up again. It's crazy.
Because you grew up and you went home for spring break, you bought a car.
Yeah. Grew up again. Yeah. I'm growing.
You're able to level up to another level.
Yeah. I'm like a level like 12 now. I think me being able to do my taxes puts me in, just separates me from everyone else. Like, I think I actually have to put on my resume that I've done my taxes in 2018. for the 2017 year, because I don't think a lot of other kids my age have done their taxes. And I did it the old-fashioned way, too. I did, pen and paper, look in your tax bracket, figure out how much you owe, and then you subtract and do some stuff, crunch some numbers. At the end of the day, it's really not that hard, to be honest. It's pretty easy. I could show you. What I do know, actually, it's easy for me now because I don't have kids. I'm not married. I'm just an average guy. Like, average guy, taxes for average guys is easy. I think it's easy and doable for most people.
Hey, you don't have kids.
Yeah, I don't have kids. I'm not married, like I said. Like, taxes for the average guy is, like, very easy. I think it's definitely accomplishable. Not a lot of people have done it, but just here first, breaking news, taxes aren't that bad. Just get them done.
Love it, man. We're growing up. It's part of life. And now that you know your taxes, you can help our marketing interns learn their taxes.
Yeah, if you guys need any help learning how to do your taxes, I can help you out, I guess. Reach out to me.
As long as you don't have kids.
Yeah, as long as you don't have kids or married or don't have a mortgage or pretty much like any sort of health insurance. I didn't have health insurance either. So, yeah, just like anyone who's like me can I'll give you some help.
Thank you. Find Declan Brown, back pocket co-host, back pocket founder. He's your guy.
Yeah, has done his taxes in 2017. I'm going to put that part of my bio now.
Yeah, tax savant.
Savvy tax guy.
A big-time tax guy.
Yeah, and it's a hot time. It's a hot topic. I mean, it needs to be talked about. Tax day, people forget, is April 17th.
It is. It's the season, one would say.
Yeah, it is the season. For sure. So we got a killer feel-good story. This happened a couple days ago, and I'm fired up about it. I was telling Andrew offline earlier. Andrew's fired up about it. Needs to be talked about. So to premise the story, it's a story about a kid. His name's Gavin. He can't be older than a second grader, which I think is 8 years old. So he can't be older than eight years old. My family went to the Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday night, And when they on the Easter Vigil, like, people get confirmed, people get baptized, and people get their first communion, big time sacraments being thrown around at midnight. Anyways, Gavin, he gets up there and.
Cut out 1 second. Can I just say he's not older than second grade, you said?
Yeah, eighth grader. No. Sorry. 8 year old. He's an 8 year old.
Maybe older than 8 years old.
Not a chance.
Go ahead.
Okay, he's like 4'5", cute looking kid, cutest kid I've ever seen. He had to get up in front of the entire church and give the Apostles' Creed, which is like the really long creed that the whole church says right after the gospel or the homily, for all the Catholics out there. Had to get up in front of everyone and read the Apostles' Creed to the priest. And it took him like 7 minutes because, like, he's in second grade. The kid can barely, like, read. And, I mean, there's some hard words in there.
His own shoe.
He got up there, just absolutely knocked it out of the park, and just crushed it. Crushed the Apostles' Creed. Everyone was just I think, like, no one clapped for him after, but I really wanted to just clap for Gavin because I was just so impressed.
Everyone clapped for him, dude. Everyone clapped for him. They were in their heads clapping. We're clapping for him now.
Yeah, he's just phenomenal. But just Pope Francis is on the hot seat. Side note, no kid 8 years or younger should be having to read the Apostles' Creed in front of everybody, in front of a crowd of 1,000 people, just to get inducted into the church. I think that's a little excessive. So Pope Francis is a little on the hot seat there. Maybe we get that clarified. Maybe he's listening.
Pope Francis, you're on the hot seat. It's all right, though. Everyone's got to be on the hot seat at some point. You know who else is on the hot seat? Declan and Andrew. You know who else is on the hot seat? Declan and Andrew. We are on the hot seat after today's podcast. I think this is the ultimate low for us throughout our 43 podcast season. It's all right, though, because we're ready to become back bigger and stronger. We got a big-time guest next week, President Julie Sullivan, third time she's going to be on. She's coming to the Den. We are more than stoked about this. This is the podcast we've been waiting for since day one, having her come to our place. Marketing interns, lock in. We're on the hot seat. We're ready to rise to the occasion. And we're going to conclude this podcast. Declan, I know you usually conclude it for us, but I'm going to take it home because your audio has been spotty all night, and I'm just going to wrap it up, finish strong. You know, we got to give our marketing intern something to appreciate, something to leave that last note on. We're feeling good, positive vibes. Tune in next week. We love you guys. Take care.